Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going
to
find one.
Are you confused with the ups and downs in the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stuff.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hi, everybody. This is Peter Schiff, the host of Wall Street Unspun. Again, I'm wondering if I'm having technical difficulties here. I'm not sure if anybody is hearing me. This is Peter Schiff. I'm at Euro Pacific Capital, and I am your host for Wall Street Unspun. And once again, we're here for an hour to talk about what's happening in the markets and to take the news and take Wall Street's spin and unspin everything so that the listeners of this program can hear the truth about what's happening in the U.S. economy and to the U.S. markets. Now, we are broadcasting live, as we do every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can hear the show on shortwave at 5.07 megahertz. That's 5.07 megahertz. Or on my website at www.europac.net. www.europac.net. And at 5.07 megahertz on the shortwave radio. Also, if you happen to miss this broadcast, or if you know anybody who you'd like to listen to it, and you can listen to the archives if you missed any of the prior episodes, you can go to my website at www.europac.net, and under resources on my website, which is on the right, you go to live weekly radio broadcasts, or if you're already there listening, you click where it says click here to listen to prior broadcasts, and you can listen to every episode of Wall Street Unspun that we've done, and we've been doing them now for about a year and a half. Now, last week, we did the show from Orlando. I did it from my hotel room at the Money Show, where I did a workshop and a presentation. I also participated in a live bull and bear debate. And a very interesting debate. If anybody happened to witness that debate, I think it would be interesting if you called in to talk about it. The number to call toll-free is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. I certainly would like to talk about what happened at that bull-bear debate. But also, as I mentioned, and if you haven't done so, one of my two presentations, you can watch it on the Money Show website at www.moneyshow.com. It's a 50-minute presentation, and you can watch it on their website. You just go and register for it. It's Peter Schiff's topic. You'll see it on the Money Show, and you can watch the entire 50-minute presentation. But anyway, the number to call live, and I definitely want to get some calls, particularly to somebody who is at the Money Show, and particularly somebody who might have witnessed the bull bear debate. But if you weren't there and you didn't see it, I still want your calls. I want to have some people calling up. I like to always want to get a two-way conversation going on the show. Again, the number to call, the lines are open, is 888-678-9597. 888-678-9597. Well, anyway, the bull bear debate that we had at the Money Show, there were four of us up there. I was there, and Marty Weiss, and we were the bears, as you might imagine. And the bulls were Joe Battipaglia and Louis Navalier. And I've debated with Battipaglia in the past, and, he was fine, and, but Louis Navalier basically lost it. And rather than attacking my arguments, which were very clear, he kind of just lost it. And, the guy turned bright red and started screaming like a lunatic. And he accused me of being a liar. He kept saying, you're the biggest liar I've ever seen. You're the biggest liar I've ever met. I mean, he was going on and on and on about what a liar I was, and I couldn't understand for the life of me what he thought I was lying about. I stated some opinions about our low savings rate, about the U.S. markets, about the dollar, but, I mean, there was certainly nothing that I could have lied about. I mean, he might have said, Peter is the biggest idiot I've ever met. He's the stupidest person. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, even that would have been out of line, because the whole idea behind the debate would have been not to attack me as a person, but to attack what I was saying with his own opinions or his own facts. But he didn't do that. He just kept, you know, screaming about what a liar I was. I mean, Fred, there was at least 2,000 people in that audience. It was a huge room, and it was packed. And he was screaming at the top of his lungs at what a liar I was. And then he accused me of just being a bearish to try to sell things, because he said, you know, you can sell a lot more with this fear and this fear-mongering. Meanwhile, I wasn't trying to sell anything. But Louis Navalier was hawking about 5 or 6 of his newsletters. I mean, of the 4 of us that were up there on the podium, the most commercial by far, the only one that really tried to sell anything at all was Louis Navalier. He was talking about all his different newsletters and how well his clients were doing and this and that and how much money he was getting. And he was there, you know, basically doing a complete spiel, yet he accused me of talking bearish, not because I really believed it, but because I was just trying to sell stuff. When I wasn't, he was the only one trying to sell stuff. But it was just amazing to see how this guy responded. I don't know, a lot of other people would have been, you know, very offended to be called a liar, not only a liar, but the biggest liar he'd ever met in his entire life. And he screamed it over and over and over again in front of thousands of people. And it just was so, I just was looking at him, I was just amazed that he would have, lost control. And maybe he's never actually heard these bearish arguments made the way I made them, and it was so powerful, so overwhelming, that he didn't know how to react to it except scream. But anyway, it was something to see, and I think, you know, a lot of people thought he really, you know, he didn't hurt me by accusing me of being a liar. I think he made himself look really like a fool. And the amazing thing was, he didn't even apologize to me. I mean, I have it, you know, you would imagine that the guy would have apologized to me, would have given me a call, sent me an email, I mean, say, hey, I was kind of out of line there, I didn't mean to call you a liar, I mean, I don't know why I did that. And it was really amazing. We had the money show, as we always did. We had our client conference again, our client-only conference. If anybody happened to participate in the client-only conference, also give me a call to discuss, if you felt it was worthwhile, because I certainly would invite our clients to come to the money shows, if anything, to participate in a client-only conference, have an opportunity to spend some time with me, to ask some questions, meet some other Euro-Pacific Capital clients. But again, there's still nobody on the line. Hopefully, you people are hearing me. Hopefully, we're not having these technical problems. I know we still haven't received the added bandwidth. That's a week or two away. But give me a call if you're listening on the Internet just to let me know that you're hearing me. But the number is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. But anyway, at the client-only conference, one of the clients who was there, who happens to be an attorney, who had also happened to witness the bull-bear debate, basically pointed out that if I wanted to sue Louis Navalier for slander, that I had thousands of witnesses that would corroborate it. Because, I mean, he had no reason to believe that I was lying. I mean, he had no evidence that I was saying something that I believed not to be true. I mean, that would have to, how I would have to be a liar. I mean, I would have to be making my bearish argument, but not actually believe it. And maybe Louis Navalier, maybe my point of view was so foreign to his way of thinking, and so foreign to what the conventional Wall Street wisdom is. And since I was up there and I seemed like an intelligent, articulate person, his opinion was, well, I must have been lying, because no sane, rational person could possibly have my point of view, could possibly think the U.S. market was headed down, the dollar was headed down. Nobody, no rational, intelligent person could possibly believe what I was saying. I mean, of course, this must have been what was going on in Louis Navalier's mind, that I therefore must be a liar. There is no other explanation that he can come to. It's just amazing these the Wall Street guys how full of themselves they can be, and how when faced with any kind of opposite opinion to their rosiest scenarios that they have ingrained in their minds, their reaction was, well, this Peter Schiff, he must be a liar, and so that's why he was calling me a liar. But no one's ever done that before, but in any event, I handled it, and that was it. But other than that, I think the debate was pretty good. I think there were some very, the bulls made their typically bullish arguments, and me and Marty, I think, had a persuasive case. Now, the most interesting thing, of course, again, was at the end of the whole thing, Giffler, who is, in charge of the money shows, and who is the moderator at the debate, basically asked for a show of hands. He wanted to see, how many people think the bulls won the debate and how many people think the bears won the debate. And I'd say about 80% of the people seemed to applaud the bulls. Maybe 20% of the people thought the bears won. Now, I basically think that really wasn't a poll of who, I think that was basically an opinion poll on the market. I don't think the people came in there and they were neutral, and they listened to us, and 80% of them were convinced by Navalier and Battipaglia, and we only convinced 20%. I think that was really a reflection of the sentiment of the audience, and that was reassuring to me to see that the overwhelming number of people in attendance came in as bulls, believing the U.S. was in great shape and the U.S. market was going to go higher. And despite the fact that I think Marty and I made very convincing arguments to the contrary, that they were not swayed in their opinions, that they stuck to their bullish forecasts despite the debate. So I don't think that the fact that 80% of the people thought the bulls won meant that their arguments were more persuasive or that they in fact won. It was more just a reflection of the audience and who were there at the money show. And I still think it's good that I am in the minority when we go to the money show. There probably were about 10,000 people in attendance at the money show, and it's still a good sign that the overwhelming number of people who come to these conferences are still completely delusional with respect to the true state of the U.S. economy and the U.S. financial markets. I do think that at some point in time, in the distant future, maybe in a few years, that it could be the opposite. I mean, maybe 80% of the people in the audience will be in my camp. And when that does happen, it might be time to start reflecting my bearishness. I mean, maybe it would be time to begin to get bullish. But if anyone tries to say, again, and as people have foolishly made this argument over the past year, that there are too many bears, that the bears are in the minority, are in the majority, rather, they're sadly mistaken. We are still squarely in the contrarian camp. My position that the U.S. market is going to go down, that the dollar is going to go down, that the U.S. economy is in trouble, is clearly a minority-held opinion, and so you cannot try to make a contrarian argument that there are too many bears, because certainly anybody who was at the Orlando Money Show can attest that the place was a bull stampede, with the exception of a couple of bears like me and like Marty Weiss. Anyway, again, if you happen to be there, I really would like to hear somebody else's take on what happened at the bull bear debate. Again, the number is 888-678-9597. 888-678-9597 is the number to call to talk to me live on the air. Now, also, something big that happened yesterday. Yesterday we witnessed the largest one-day drop in the price of gold, I think, in at least 2 years. Gold was down about $22 or $23 an ounce yesterday on Tuesday. Not only gold, silver was down maybe 40 cents. Copper, oil was down 3%. And across the board, stocks were hit. All the stocks, gold stocks, copper stocks, oil stocks, all those types of stocks were really clobbered. Most of the stocks that I own personally, that clients own in the mining sector and natural resource in the mining sector, were down anywhere from 7 to 10% in one day. Also, there was no news. I mean, there was no news. The sell-off started very early in the morning. I was watching the gold futures open. They opened down about $2 or $3, nothing big. And then within the first 10 minutes of trading, gold went down $8 or $10, and then it sold off all day long, And the gold stocks sold off all day long. They did not let up, and they closed on the lows of the day. We had a small bounce back today, nothing spectacular. Gold was up a couple of bucks, very, very little. Now, I'm watching gold trade this evening. It's trading right now in Asia, and gold's up about $8. So we're making a rebound. So between the couple of bucks was up today and the $8 it's up now, it's recovered almost half of what it lost on Tuesday. Silver's up 12 cents. Platinum's up $10 right now as we speak. Palladium's up $1. Palladium has been very, very strong, very, very strong. It's trading at 290. But there's no fundamental news to sell that market off. It looked to me like a classic, running the stops, trying to scare out some of the weak longs. The market had been steadily trending higher without any meaningful pullbacks in the last several weeks. And, you know, these things are bound to happen. They're bound to happen eventually. And, but again, a $20 move in the price of gold down is, no reason to be alarmed. And fear of such a move is no reason for people to hesitate in buying, because these are very small moves in the scheme of things. Sure, in one day it's pretty big, and if you're leveraged and you're speculating in futures and options, a day like today can clobber you, can really clobber you, especially if you just got long and, you bought the highs and, you got stopped out. But if you're a conservative buyer of physical precious metals, which is what we recommend, if you're holding quality gold stocks for the long term, these declines are great buying opportunities if you're not in or if you're looking to add to your positions. And even if you happen to have bought some gold through us right at the highs, even if that's the only purchase you made, you buy it for all cash, it's no big deal. In the scheme of things, whether gold is at 550 or 570, it's really going to be very little difference ultimately to where the price of gold is going. And again, it was not just gold. It was resource stocks across the board that got whacked and whacked really hard. And, there's a lot of hedge funds, a lot of highly leveraged trend money that are also getting into gold and natural resources and oil. They're not the reasons the market is going up. Don't let, Wall Street or the pundits on CNBC confuse you or let you believe that it's the speculators that are driving the market. They're not. It's the real fundamental flows that are driving the market. The speculators are just along for the ride. But it's the speculators who have always got one foot out the door and who are responsible for some of the volatility in the market, some of the increased volatility. And I think it was some of that speculative money that was rushing for the exits yesterday, and that's why we saw the big sell-off that we did. But those speculators, when they do that, what they really do is they provide excellent buying opportunities for our clients, who are not speculators but who are conservative investors and savers, and it provides an excellent opportunity to buy. And that's what it is. It's a great opportunity to buy more gold, buy mining shares if you're a mining share buyer. Our more conservative stocks that we buy, which is the bulk of our business at Euro Pacific Capital, the REITs, the energy trusts, the foreign utilities, the select value stocks, they weren't down at all yesterday. I mean, they didn't go down. I mean, some went down a little, some went up a little. But those stocks don't have that kind of volatility because that's not where the hot money is going. The hot money is in the more leveraged plays, and those are the stocks that we own for our clients who are speculating. And but they know that this type of volatility is par for the course, and nothing to be worried about. Anyway, we've got a caller on hold from New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Mr. Schiff, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. I just was calling up because I was hearing you talking about Mr. Battaglia. Peter?
Battaglia?
Joe Battaglia?
Well, Battaglia. He was one of the two people that were my opponents in the Bull Bear debate at the Money Show. But Joe Battaglia is not the one that called me a liar. He was far more polite. He was just as bullish as Navalier. But he argued with me, but he didn't call me a liar. It was here. Lear who just lost his cool and just freaked out and turned red and was screaming and ranting and raving at the top of his lungs about what a liar I was.
Okay, well, that's good to know, because I know Mr. Battaglia and some of his guys were, if anybody had TiVos back in 99, 2000, they should turn them on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's no question that
we're speaking
Battaglia and
2000 then.
Here. Gave a lot of bad investment advice back in 1998, 99, and 2000 that they hope people forget. But, you know, I was too polite to bring that up at the debates because I'm not attacking them for their bad calls in the past. I'm just debating the issues at the present. And that's a better way to do it rather than bringing up, you know, their bad calls in the past. Because, you know, I didn't necessarily like that when I was arguing my bearish case in 1999 and 98, and they would say, well, weren't you bearish in 96 and 97? So you were wrong then. You must be wrong now. It's better to just argue the facts that are before you as opposed to attacking the integrity of your opponent.
All right, I would have to agree with you, but I caught bits and pieces of it, I wanted to make an input on where people stood in 99, 98, and 2000, and where they stood in 02 to 06.
Yeah.
And 9/11, I think, Mr. Schiff, did have something to do with the commodity market. It has never gone any lower, and it has only gone higher. That's not fair to say to the two gentlemen that you're at the money show, but because it has changed things.
But you know, the interesting thing,
a flyer, that's fine with me because, you know,
about a Battaglia,
here in Europe specifically,
and Navalier were bullish on gold and gold stocks and bullish on oil. So we didn't disagree on some of those big themes. It's interesting that even the bulls thought that oil and gold were a good place to invest, but they didn't think it was a problem. Their points were that gold was going up and oil was going up because the economies were growing and because the economies were so strong. And I tried to point out what nonsense that was. I said, look, we had growing economies in the past. We had strong economies, but oil prices weren't going up like this. Gold prices weren't going up like this. The reason oil and gold are going up is because of inflation. That's the only reason. They're not going up because of strong economies. It's a bunch of nonsense. But these guys are such Pollyannas. They're burying their heads in the sand. They're completely complacent, and they can't see the forest for the trees.
If I was an investor and I had bought some gold in October, would I be worried about the 20-point decline in gold this past week?
Of course not. You bought it so much lower, you know. I mean, you know, it means nothing. But, of course, that $20 move could be a big enough drop to scare out some of the Johnny-come-latelys who just bought a little or, you know, didn't know, maybe they bought it because of the jewelry demand argument in China, and all of a sudden it drops, and now they get nervous. But that's what bull markets are supposed to do. They're supposed to have violent corrections, sharp corrections, to scare people out.
All right. I don't know all about
that. Understand what's going on.
I'm trying to learn it, and that's why I'm calling to get some information, because I've been following CNBC only because that's one of the channels that you can get on cable. And just very interested on your comment, because I've heard Joe, who ended up running to Philly, which are not going to go there, but just wanted to get your opinion. And
well, thanks
for the money show, but I heard a lot of good things. And I don't want to tie up the listeners because I'm sure there's going to be some more phone calls, Mr. Schiff. But thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Anyway, let me give out the number again. 888. Hold on a second. And this, you know, we're talking about the bull bear debate at the money show. And again, if you happen to see that and you were there, give me a call. It's 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Let me take a quick break, play a commercial on how to get a hold of Euro Pacific Capital, and we'll pick up with the program at the other side of the break and your calls if you're on the line.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. with our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro-Pacific Capital.
Well, we're back, and I'm here taking your phone calls live. This is Peter Schiff at Wall Street Unspun, broadcasting at 5.07 megahertz on the shortwave, and simulcasting on my website at www.europac.net, EUROPAC.net. And the lines are open toll-free. Call me at 888-678-9597. That's 888-678-9597. Again, I'm looking for calls, if possible, from people who happen to be at the Money Show and witness the spectacle of Louis Navalier losing his cool. Anyway, it's 888-678-9597. Now, I don't know if anybody happened to read, well, I'm sure people happen to read it, but another topic would be my commentary that I wrote last week on Alan Greenspan. And it's titled, Let's Bury Greenspan and Not Praise Him. Obviously a takeoff on the line from Julius Caesar. But the reason I wrote the piece was because of all of the accolades and praise that had been heaped on Greenspan throughout the week from Wall Street and from the politicians about what a great guy he was. And you should read this piece. But, you know, the fact that Alan Greenspan is so popular among politicians and bankers is not a sign of how well he did his job, but of how poorly he did his job. These guys are not supposed to like him. Now, take a guy like Paul Volcker, who a lot of people today believe did a good job. But back in the early 1980s, when he had jacked interest rates way up there and we were in a bad recession, Wall Street hated him. Politicians hated him and vilified him. I mean, he wasn't popular back then. He's popular now. In hindsight, people said, yeah, he did a good job. But at the time, he was very unpopular. That's what Greenspan should have been. Greenspan should have been unpopular. He's supposed to be the chaperone that takes the punch bowl away just as the party starts to go. Instead, he's the one that was spiking it. You know, and the fact that all the partygoers are drunken and toasting Greenspan and singing for he's a jolly good fellow is not a sign that he's doing a good job as a chaperone. Yet nobody seems to pick up on that, you know, in the mainstream media. So I wrote that piece, and if you haven't been on my website to read it, it's a great piece. I've got a lot of feedback on it, and it's on the front page of the website at www.europac.net. And if you're not visiting my website and reading these commentaries, make a point. I'm putting a new one up every week, and there's a lot of good stuff that you can read on that site. So make a point of visiting it at least once a week at a minimum. But also, you know, I post a lot of great articles on my website. The last couple of days, I've posted some excellent, excellent articles, particularly today, on the housing bubble. Great articles about the supply of houses. I mean, just look at it. Read some of these stories on the website. I mean, one of them today is talking about a woman who sold her house. She finally got it sold. She lost about 20% based on what she paid 3 years ago. I mean, prices are really coming down. I mean, people are cutting prices 2 and 3 times. There's articles about developers where the developers are slashing prices, offering, you know, freebies and all kinds of stuff. I mean, amazing. You know, I looked at this chart, which I look at quite often in the Orange County Register, and I do that because I used to live in Newport Beach and I was watching the housing market there closely. And if you look at the chart, housing prices collapsed in the last few days, in the last few months, in about 5% in Newport Beach. But the interesting thing about it was, if I looked at the sales numbers, new home sales prices were down sharply. They were down like 20%. But the new home sales were up 5%. So new homes sold, but they sold at much lower prices. And that's because the developers are wanting to move this inventory. They want to get rid of these homes. So they don't mind dropping their prices to keep their sales up. But if you look at the resales, resale prices were still up about 10 or 12%, but the sales were collapsed like 25%. And so what that means is that the homes that aren't being developed by speculators or builders, people who are just putting their homes on the market, they haven't lowered their prices yet. They're just waiting for an unrealistic high price, which they're not getting. So you're not seeing the big drop in resale prices, but you're seeing the big drop in the volume because no one is buying. But where people have to sell houses, like developers, they are dramatically reducing prices. So real estate prices are falling. They're falling right now, and a lot of people are just not aware of the extent to which real estate prices are falling. But read these articles on my site. And there's one article, you'll get a kick out of this one. It was on my site yesterday, so you got to go and read the archives of the news. But this, I was laughing when I read this article. But apparently, it was in some part of the country, and they had this little kit. And the kid had a little statue of some religious figure. I don't know who the figure was, but it was some Catholic figure. And what you're supposed to do is bury this little figure in the ground next to your for sale sign. And it's to bring you luck or something to help you sell your property. And they were interviewing all these people, and they were doing this. They interviewed the people that were selling these kits, and they were saying, look, we're having record demand for these little prayer kits. Because that's what you need now to sell your house. You need a prayer. They were interviewing people who just could not sell their house. They've been on the market for 3 months, 6 months. They're cutting their prices. You know, there's another article on my site today about people who are juggling two mortgages, and they're having a hard time because they bought a house without selling the house they lived in. They figured they'd be able to sell the house they lived in, and now they're stuck. They got a new house, but they haven't gotten rid of their old house, and they're paying two mortgages, and people are really in trouble. Now, at some point, these people are going to have to bite the bullet and sell these houses for less money. But the anecdotal evidence that this real estate market is done is so overwhelming. But read some of these stories on my website. They're, you know, I'm just finding them online from various local newspapers, and they're all different markets. You look at the markets, they're all around the country. It's not that it's isolated. It's not like there's just one market where this is happening. It's happening all over the country in market after market, and not just the hot, high-flying markets. But every real estate market is having problems, every single one. And this is still with 30-year bonds near the lows, with the 30-year mortgages still at their low levels. The only mortgages that have gone up have been the adjustable rate mortgages, the ARMs, or the interest-only type mortgages that were ARMs. But the 30-year fixed, I guess, which very few people use anymore, but it's still there, that mortgage hasn't really gotten any more expensive. Wait till that happens. And of course, if you look at the supply of homes, I've been saying on this show for a while, but I think that there's a lot of supply coming in the next few months. And, you know, going into the spring, there is going to be such an overwhelming glut of houses on the market. And then you're going to start to see the prices really drop for the, you know, existing home sales. Now, we also got some really bad news out of Toll Brothers. You know, they had a big, you know, Toll Brothers is one of these high-flying home builders. And the stock is now half of what it was a few months ago. But they came out with much lower sales numbers, and they reduced their guidance, and they basically said they're having a problem selling homes. Well, duh. We knew that was going to happen. And I was talking on this show about, you know, people were looking at the home builders, how much homes they were building, and saying, well, they're building all these homes. I guess they can sell them. No, they can't sell them. And they're still building them anyway. You know, this is probably the most overbuilt real estate market in U.S. history. And it's amazing that during the whole process, so many on Wall Street were saying these home builders are so good because they're not overbuilding. Well, they were overbuilding in spades. And we're going to see the extent of their overbuilding, I think, by this spring. And look out below in the real estate market. And if you haven't sold your house already, it's probably too late. But you still might be able to borrow against it. And again, we can talk about these strategies. They're aggressive strategies. But if you're interested in trying to preserve some wealth from your house using some sophisticated strategies, definitely give our office a call and talk to one of our brokers. These are not for everybody, so you really have to be suitable and appropriate for these strategies. But they're ways to try to preserve the value of your home without selling. And today, it's very difficult to sell, so that might be the only strategy left. But anyway, you call our office at 800-727-7922 and talk to one of my brokers about these strategies. It's 800-727-7922. And again, the lines are still open. We've only got the one call. Hopefully there's somebody out there listening to me. Give me a call. The number is 888-678-9597. 888-678-9597 is the number to call toll-free to speak to me live on the air on Wall Street Unspun. Now, also recently in the news, last week, we got the release of the jobs numbers. And, you know, I was a little surprised at the market's reaction. You know, the dollar garnered quite a bit of strength on the jobs numbers, and they actually were a lot weaker than what had been forecast. Now, they were able to ratchet up the prior months a little bit, but in general, the job creation was kind of lackluster, and a good chunk of it, about 55,000 of the jobs or so, were in construction. I mean, we know those jobs are phony. Those, they're not going to be there. It didn't look like a very strong report. Now, the unemployment rate dropped a couple of points, but again, that's all, as I said, that's all propaganda. You know, the reason the unemployment rate is so low in this country is because so few people who have jobs are counted as unemployed, because either they're discouraged and they're not looking for work, or, you know, they don't think they need to work. Why do so few Americans think they need to work? Because they own a home. You know, in this housing bubble where, you know, you get rich by being a homeowner and extracting equity, who needs to work? So this whole culture of the real estate bubble has created a situation where many people no longer feel compelled to work, even though they're unemployed. And so those people are not counted in the statistics. So even though we have, you know, a large segment of the population no longer in the workforce, they are not being counted as unemployed. Now, all of a sudden, when their houses collapse in value, and they realize that they're not making money as homeowners anymore, suddenly these people are going to be back in the workforce. And all of a sudden, you're going to see a huge spike up in the unemployment rate when homeowners all of a sudden realize that, they don't have any equity anymore, and they're not earning any equity by sitting on their couch watching television. They're going to actually have to earn money the old-fashioned way again by finding a job. And so once they come to that conclusion, they're back in the labor force, and assuming that they don't, you know, give up right away, they will be counted as unemployed. Anyway, I've got Harold on the line, calling from Colorado. How you doing, Harold?
Good, Peter. How you doing?
I am okay.
You must have gotten to Mr. Navalier, huh?
Were you there?
No, I was not. I would have liked to have been there, but no, I watched you on the webcast the first morning, or Wednesday morning, I think, and you did a nice job there. I was pleased to see that.
Yeah, thanks. You know, that workshop, you know, I did that one at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was a little nervous about that time being so early, and they were assuring me that it was a good time, so I agreed to take it. And it was raining that morning, and I don't know if you can see, but there was only about 75, 80 people in attendance.
No, they only showed your podium.
I get a lot. Normally, I get 300 or 400 people at a meeting like that, and so the next time I schedule at the Money Show, so the next one we're doing is going to be in Las Vegas, but I'm going to make sure that I'm not doing one that early in the morning.
Well, I'll be at the Las Vegas. We're out in Colorado, so we can get to Vegas pretty easy. Anyhow,
sure, and sign up. I'm sure we're going to do another client-only conference. There I spend a couple hours, and it's a real intimate meeting, you know. It's, you know, we had about maybe 25, 30 people out at this time, but we all gather around in a small room, and we have a discussion about what's going on.
Well, that will be worthwhile. Peter, just a comment on gold. I think yesterday's plunge in gold probably were the latecomers coming in, and when it turned down, and of course all the brokers and the chatter, in my opinion, they really don't like to walk the talk on gold. So, you know, it was probably some margin call selling and just scared people.
A lot of the momentum players, you know, are quick to jump out, and, you know, it's, I think it's just a technical blip, and some people got stopped out. And, you know, as I said, there's a lot of people in the gold market right now that don't understand why gold's going up. As I said, both Louis Navalier and Joe Battipaglia were bullish on gold. So even the bulls were bullish on gold. But, you know, they weren't as bullish as I was, and they were bullish for the wrong reasons.
Well, and then my second comment on gold, you know, I look at gold as almost pure insurance. I've told my family, I'm getting up in the years, but I've told my family gold, the gold holdings we have out in the Perth Mint, which we buy through your firm, should be the last asset they sell. If I have an asset that I leave to the family, it's going to be the gold in the...
Yeah, and I don't actually look at gold as insurance. I look at gold as money. Gold is money. It's the only money.
Exactly.
The paper is just a money substitute. Gold is real. Gold's been money for 5,000 years, and it ain't going to change. So that's like a core. That's wealth. Gold will preserve wealth. And the reason that it is because it's scarce. You just can't make gold. You got to mine it, and it's very expensive to do, and it's hard to find.
And it's getting more expensive, you know. That's...
Yeah. Meanwhile, it costs nothing to print paper money, and they can put as many zeros as they want on the end of a dollar bill. So the Federal Reserve can print $1 trillion for the same cost that prints one.
Exactly.
But what good is it? And you even have people like Ben Bernanke who have talked about the printing press and what a great invention it is and how much money they can print at no cost. And they'll do it.
Today, I very seldom watch him, but I was watching your old buddy Kudlow, and he had a couple of, in fact, one was a Citibank rep, and they were supporting and telling why they had gold in their portfolio. And even Kudlow became very disturbed when they started talking about the growth of the money, because he pointed out that the money monetary base, I really don't know what that is really, but he said it had grown 25% here in the last quarter or so. So
that's pretty big.
Oh, fantastic. And Kudlow even was saying, you know, I don't like what I'm seeing here, but...
Well, they're printing a lot of money, and that's, you know, the other reason that within a month or two, they're no longer going to report the growth of M3.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're stopping it. Theoretically, they said they're stopping it because, you know, they don't want to bother, they want to save the taxpayers' money. Yeah, you know, they want to save us money, right? You know, I mean, they don't want us, they want to cover their tracks. They're embarrassed by how much the money supply has grown, and they don't want anyone to know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll let
camel's nose under the tent. You better believe that once they stop M3, they're going to stop something else. They're going to try to give us as little information as possible so we don't know the extent to which they're inflating and debasing the money.
Do you think another part of that is this Iranian borscht that they're speaking of? Do you think that's playing in it, or do you think that'll even work?
Well, it will work, certainly. I mean, if we don't attack Iran first, which we might do.
Right.
But Iran, of course, I think sometime by the summer, they're going to have their oil bourse up and running, and they're going to be trading oil in euros. And that's just going to be another nail in the dollar's coffin, because if oil starts trading more in euros, then that's less demand for the dollar. And, you know, there's so much that the supply of dollars is growing like weeds. And anything that diminishes dollar demand is very, very negative for the U.S. dollar, for, you know, forcing interest rates up and hurting our economy. And so I know that Washington is very nervous about this. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation on the part of people looking for conspiracies. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't tend to be in that camp. But one of the reasons that this conspiracy theory reasons for our attacking Iraq is because Iraq had started to move towards pricing its oil in euros.
I think, in fact, Saddam already had been pricing. He was...
had just started it. And now you've got Iran threatening to do the same thing, and here we are threatening to attack Iran.
Oh,
it might just be a coincidence, but we'll see if it happens twice. You know, I mean, we might be trying to send a subtle message to the Middle East that you better not price your oil in euros or you're in trouble.
Well, if you need dollars to buy oil, just think of all the dollars you need, and if all at once you don't need those dollars or don't need the dollars to buy oil...
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no real demand for dollars. As I said in my presentation at the Money Show, you know, the original reason for demand for dollars was because people wanted to buy all of our products. They wanted to buy all the American radios and television sets and refrigerators and automobiles and all the products that we made in this country.
Right.
Now they're made in other countries, so what do you need dollars for? I mean, we don't Americans don't even buy American products anymore. Why would the rest of the world?
Exactly, exactly. Well, I'll let you...
Thanks for your call, and I appreciate your patronage on the Perth Mint. Are you buying any stocks and bonds through us?
Oh, yeah, I've got an account that we're, you know, I've got New Zealand, Australian. I bought some Chinese, or through Hong Kong. No, I like your program very much, Peter. You guys do a good job. I work with your Phoenix office, and
Yeah, there's a good group of guys in the Phoenix office. In fact, at the Vegas Money Show, the people that come to the Vegas Money Show will be from the Phoenix office.
Well, in fact, that's where I first ran into you, was last year's Money Show, and I do want to comment, I cannot get you on my website. I can pick you up on the shortwave, but...
Oh, so it's not working right now on the web, huh?
Well, I don't know whether it's my setup or...
Oh, no, we're having a lot of problems, and I'm apologizing, and maybe that's why the calls are coming in light. They're telling me it's the bandwidth, and that, you know, it's the blessing and a curse, because as more people are trying to listen, they're all blocking each other out.
Right.
And so they've ordered some more equipment, but I think people are having a difficult time right now listening online, and hopefully I don't lose too much of my audience because people get frustrated.
Well, I always, of course, listen to you, you know, later on. I listen to you tomorrow when you post it on your site. But anyhow, live, I cannot get you on the web.
Oh, all right. Well, sorry about that, but hopefully that will be the case by the end of the month anyway.
Okay, well...
But anyway, well, thanks for... And tell your friends. You know, we want to get as many referrals from our clients as we can. You know, time is running out, I think, to really protect yourself and get out of the dollar, so...
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Peter.
Sure thing.
Bye.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from the clients, and particularly people who are happy with the service that we're providing and the returns that we're able to generate. And, yeah, it looks like we're probably not getting... I mean, if anybody is listening to me right now on the Internet and they're actually hearing me and it's working, give me a call to let me know that it's working for somebody. If nobody calls, I'll assume that nobody's able to listen to me on the Internet right now. The number is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Let's play one more commercial quickly, and then we'll pick up for the last segment and your phone calls.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Well, we're back. And anyway, I am having some computer problems right now. I don't know what happened to my laptop. It just started today, and I don't know if it was having some new hardware that I put on or I picked up some kind of virus. But all of a sudden, I get this blue screen on my computer, like some error message, and the whole thing shuts down. And so that's what happened just as I was going into the break. So I'm trying to get back onto my laptop. So you guys, you know, listening in the radio show, if there are any callers that are coming in, I can't see the prompt. So just let me know if there's any callers on hold so I can take them. But I cannot see any of the messages. Oh, we've got a caller on the line from Canada. You're on with Peter Schiff. Go ahead.
I just want to let you know that I am listening to you. I don't have any questions or anything. I just want to let you know that you are on up here, and I'm listening.
Are you listening on the Internet or shortwave?
Shortwave.
No. I was looking for calls from people who are listening on the Internet. I know the broadcast is going out shortwave.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm concerned if anybody can hear me on the Internet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem. Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate the call, and I hope you'll continue to listen to the program.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, it's the Internet that I'm concerned about. I know the shortwave is working. I've got my computer back on, but I got to start logging back on to these programs. So if anybody else is on the line, give me a holler, because I still haven't got... the thing back up. Anyway, also this week, we're going to get the trade deficit. I think it either comes out tomorrow or Friday. I'm not sure the exact date, Thursday or Friday. But, you know, if it's not a record trade deficit, I'm sure that they're going to somehow try to tell us that it's good news because it's not a new all-time record of in excess of $70 billion. But I'm sure it's going to be another very, very bad trade deficit. If it's not another all-time record high, it'll likely be right up there, the second, the third, or the first worst trade deficit in history. No question about it. And be ready for the Wall Street spin doctors because they always work overtime the day the trade deficit comes out. Because all you hear when the trade deficit comes out is, oh my gosh, this shows you how strong our economy is, how vibrant our economy is. Our consumers are sucking in imports. They're strong. They're spending. And the rest of the world is weak. And, you know, they're not spending like we are. You know, this is the biggest nonsense. It's the biggest bunch of nonsense. And I've written about it and I've talked about it. But make a point. You know, this trade deficit comes out. Watch what you read. Watch what you hear. I guarantee you a bad trade deficit is going to be talked about as if it's a great thing and a sign of how good our economy is and how much faster we're growing than our trading partners. And this is all a bunch of nonsense. No economy is growing faster than China right now. China is growing much faster than we are, yet China has a trade surplus. This is all a bunch of nonsense that fast-growing economies, by definition, have deficits. In fact, in the 1950s and the 1960s, we also had an economy growing much faster than is the economy today, and we had trade surpluses throughout those decades. So this is all a bunch of nonsense. That a growing economy means you have a trade deficit. You know, you can look at the Japanese economy when it was booming in the 1980s. They had a trade surplus the whole time. This is all a bunch of nonsense. You know, look at Singapore. Singapore's economy, it also grows much, much faster than the United States, yet they've got surpluses. So this is all a bunch of nonsense. But look for it. I mean, pay attention to it. You're going to see it in spades when this trade deficit comes out. And again, it's going to come out either tomorrow or Friday, you know, either one of these days. You know, I've got my computer back on, but I'm still having problems. You know, you think, you know, the computers, you know, they certainly do a lot of good, and they are labor-saving devices on the one hand, but on the other hand, you know, you get dependent on these things, and so frequently something's going wrong. You know, they say, you know, technology, you know, breeds extinction or special, you know, these things. And, you know, you get dependent on these things, and then, you know, without them, you can't function properly. You know, I know that sometimes, you know, in my office, when the Internet is down, we can't do anything because we're so dependent on it right now for, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do on a daily basis, whereas before the Internet came along, I had a business. I was working before the Internet, and I was able to function fine without it. But all of a sudden, you get the Internet, and you start altering a lot of your systems to work online and through the Internet, and then the Internet goes down, and it throws a monkey wrench into your whole system. But anyway, I'm in the process of trying to get these things back up. I still can't see if there are any callers coming in, but I'm gradually getting back on the Internet. So now I can look up the telephone number, which I've been looking for. So if you do want to call, I know we've only got about 7 minutes now left, but the number to call to try to get in your comment or your question, and again, I still haven't heard from anybody listening on the Internet, so I'm assuming that nobody is able to listen online right now. The number to call is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597 is the number to call to ask a question or to make a comment, and particularly call me if you are receiving this broadcast, hearing this broadcast live on my website at www.europac.net if you're listening on the Internet. I know that shortwave is working. We've had a few callers today listening to the show on shortwave. The question is, can anybody hear me on the Internet? Okay, this is really it. I'm still trying to get in to my little messenger program, and I'm still not I'm still not able to get that up. It's working now, and I'm back. All right, so if there are any calls now, I will be able to see them. Anyway, so the trade desk is going to come out. Maybe it'll be a catalyst. I mean, maybe, again, and every time I say this, every time we get close to another trade deficit number, I'm thinking maybe this is finally the shot that will be heard around the world. Maybe someone will finally pay attention to the significance of these trade deficits, and not only the individual monthly trade deficits, but the compounding effect, the cumulative effect of all these trade deficits month after month, year after year, and all the liabilities that we're accumulating, and all the interest that we have to pay on those liabilities. And we borrowed the money to consume. We didn't borrow the money to invest. We don't have any factories or anything to show for all this debt. All we've got is used television sets and used granite countertops and, you know, canceled checks for the vacations that we took. None of these things are going to produce returns to help us pay the interest on this massive external debt. Anyway, I've got another Canadian call. Steve is calling from up in Canada. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, first thing, I've been listening away on the internet, but it fades out a bit here and there, so I missed
it. All right, but it is working.
It is working, yes.
All right, good.
That was the main thing. And the other comment I want to make, $20 drop in gold doesn't concern me at all. It's just games in the COMEX, you know, like you said, hitting the stops and it was due. Until somebody changes the fundamentals for it, it's going higher.
It's like it's still interesting that gold drops. The drops in gold are still sharper than the rallies, and that's a good sign of a bull market, because drops are always sharp and quick, and they're designed to create fear among the weaker players.
Well, if the bullion banks have put in stop buy orders at certain prices, it'll go a lot higher in a hurry.
Look, there's a lot of money moving into gold, and a $20 drop is a great buying opportunity. And I think gold will be making new highs. Who knows? It could even make new highs before the week is over.
Oh yeah, you never know.
Up $8 tonight, so spot gold's back around 558. So we've recovered back above 550. You know, we're only about $12, $13 off the highs. So we'll see if we can get back up there.
Yeah, I think I sent you an email of one of the most outrageous couple of statements I've heard today on gold.
Oh, what was that?
Number one, Greenspan giving a speech at $120,000.
What's he going to say that's worth $120,000?
Well, he said gold's risen so far because of terrorism. People are afraid of terrorism.
Well, I got that email. Yeah, well, that's a convenient. They like to say that because he doesn't want to blame it on his irresponsible inflationary monetary policy.
Yeah.
Saying it's because of terrorists. I mean, I can tell Mr. Greenspan something. I've been buying gold for my clients and for myself for about 5 or 6 years, and terrorism didn't even enter into my decision-making process.
No, I know what you mean. It's the destroying of the paper money that the people.
But it's interesting the way people who aren't buying gold are trying to tell other people who aren't buying gold while the people who are buying it are.
And when somebody on the TV says,
"You should ask me," I'd speak to them. I wouldn't charge them anything, and I'll tell them why I'm really buying gold.
Yeah. Well, that's it's just every time, once in a while, you hear those strange comments, you know. And then somebody on TV, well, it did bottom out then. You know, if it was terrorism, why wasn't it 550 right after September?
I know. In fact, gold didn't even move too much right away. It took a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for the call. I've only got a couple of minutes. I want to wrap this up. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Again, you know, if you're interested in gold, you know, we like the Perth Mint program. One of the callers called in. If you don't have gold through the Perth Mint, it's the best way to do it. Give us a call. Call my Newport Beach office. Ask for Danielle Dwyer. Her number is 800-993-8350. 800-993-8350. Buy some gold and silver before they make new highs. Call up Danny Dwyer. Talk about the Perth Mint. Also, if you don't have an account with us, or if you do and you want to add to it, call our office, 800-727-7922, 800-727-7922. Make sure to visit my website at www.europac.net. When you're there, you can subscribe to my free newsletter, The Global Investor. The third issue should be coming out hopefully within another week or two. I know we're a little behind in that one, but go to my website, sign up for it so you get the next issue so you don't miss it. Also, download my research report on the collapsing dollar, the powerful case for investing in foreign equities. You can do that right on my website at www.europac.net. Once again, thanks everybody for listening. Apologize for the trouble we're having online. Hopefully that will be cleared up by the end of the month. Meantime, listen to the show on my website in the archives. It should be no problem. Hopefully it will be posted soon. Thanks a lot, everybody.